Hi, everyone. You're listening to Casting Seeds, the only holistic health podcast where you get to use individualized discernment in God's singular truth. I'm Savannah, your host.
Jeremiah, your co-host.
And today we were supposed to go into part two and part three of second trimester and third trimester. But I am going to be interviewing some specialists, and I just feel like it's going to be really redundant if I give my opinion and then you're going to listen to other people's opinions with my opinion again being said. So Jeremiah and I decided right now in this moment while he's looking at me, he had no idea.
We you men know this one. We
decided. As in she decided and then he agreed.
Not yet.
She decided and then he affirmed and said yes and led. Because he could have looked at me and been like, nope.
He just laughs and exactly. Nods his head.
But we as in we.
You got a mouse in your pocket?
Well, I have a bunch of overall kind of, so I want to think of this as like a holistic part two, a 102 session. We have a 101.
101.2?
Yeah. No, 102. Oh. This is a secondary up class. Class is in session.
101A? No,
102. Okay.
102.
That's going to be the name of this episode. Holistic 102.
All right. What's it going to be about?
I get asked the same questions quite often. And Jeremiah also gets asked many questions, or I guess, what did you say?
I get the complaints.
Oh yeah.
My back hurts. My leg hurts. I got nerve issues.
And Jeremiah, I feel like he's also starting to make the same suggestions over and over again,
yeah.
Especially to men. So I thought it would be fun to go over some of those similar questions that we get all the time. Especially now that we have a podcast, because people are like, oh, I listened to the Holistic 101 episode. It was really, really insightful. People loved kind of getting that general overview of things.
Yeah.
This is now going to be going a step further. So it's not going to be a general overview anymore and just relating holistic health to Christ. This is going to be an episode more on in-depth discussions on holistic health. And if you guys really love some of the topics we're going to mention, we can then bring it into whole episodes, especially because I can't tell you the two that get mentioned to me so often. And there's going to be the two for the whole episode. I don't know. I don't care. But essential oils, number one. People cannot stop asking me questions about essential oils. And the second one is yoga.
Oh.
What about you? What
if controversial.
Yeah. Ooh, what do people ask you? Like all the time.
It's mainly what do I take for colds and then what do I take for pain?
Okay. So let's make those the four of the episode. By the way, yeah. You guys can tell this is very unplanned, but ultimately Jeremiah and I knew that coming into this, we were like, why are we going to repeat ourselves 1,000 times? So we're going to get into holistic 102 episode and dive in a little bit deeper with Christian's heart posture towards certain subjects in holistic health, mm-hmm. and also just kind of give you the answers to the what is for us the run-of-the-mill questions that we get consistently.
Yeah.
Let's get started. Jeremiah, when you mentioned earlier that people ask you these questions about like colds and flus and stuff, is it mostly men or is it women as well?
Oh, it's guys.
It's guys?
Yeah.
Where do you feel like they ask you these questions the most?
So I want to say like mainly at church. Mm-hmm. And then also since my clientele has been kind of, it's mainly men lately. And some of the guys, they're older gentlemen. And they ask like my health situation and what I do for things. And colds come up and like flu and stuff like that. So I tell them, get some fire cider.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Is that the only thing you talk about? It's just fire cider?
I've mentioned elderberries and then fire ciders.
Okay. So for anyone who's confused about what a fire cider is, it's a Native American technique of medicine. And it's an anti-inflammatory, antispasmodic. It's also anti-congestion. And this is also if you use the correct herbs for it. But it can be anti-congestional. It can help with reducing fevers. And then also help be antiviral, antifungal, and antibacterial.
Yeah.
So most fire ciders are about 10 to 15 herbs max. And when I learned it in school, it's about 10 herbs that we used. It's a apple cider vinegar base. And you could technically use any vinegar as a base, but apple cider vinegar is just better all around, especially for internal ingestion.
Mm-hmm.
And the sugars in the apple cider helps break down the basically the emulsion better. And an emulsion is like a paste that you make from the ground up herbs and substance that you put in it. But I put like over 50 herbs every single time I make a fire cider, and it's like a massive batch. And I've noticed the longer it ferments for, you only need to do it for about a month or 2 months. But I noticed that we've done ours like in multiple times, 2 year batches. And both times they lasted throughout the 2 years, and it was way more than we could ever have. And on top of that, it's almost like it aged like a fine wine. It was sweeter. It wasn't as aggressive tasting. It was really tangy. And you didn't, a little bit went a long way.
Yeah.
And a fire cider, I know people who take some like daily, especially during flu season, but we only tended to take some if we knew we were going to be around a lot of people. And we'd take like one in the morning, one at night, about a tablespoon's worth. Sometimes we'd double it if we were like, especially me with touching people. If I touched a lot of people that day and people said they were sick, I would take more. But honestly, Jeremiah and I only tend to take it when like the other person is sick. So like if I'm not feeling good and I knew that Jeremiah knew that he slept next to me, I would have him take the fire cider and I would start taking fire cider so that his becomes preventative and then mine becomes like antiviral or bacterial, whatever. It starts working for me. And Jeremiah, which one, like, I remember you saying we just tried the new batch of fire cider. Why did you like the old one more?
I just really enjoyed the taste of the other one a little bit more. It was less apple, like it didn't taste like apple cider. And then on top of that, I think it had more ginger. So it had a little bit more spice to it. And I like that. It's not a texture, but like it feels more chewy when you drink that one versus this one. It feels more like a water, but it kind of burns. And then an aftertaste. The other one didn't have an aftertaste. This one does.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because it's newer. Like this one's only 2 months old.
True. And it was so much darker, the other one.
Yeah. The other
different herbs.
It was, you know what though? When I held it up in the light today before I sold the last one, and it was that deep red color, but it was like a dark wine color. So it still had that red color that this one has, but you can just tell it's aged. And then when you shook it up, it's that brown color because of the sediment at the bottom.
Yeah.
So this one, I mean, it's honestly, it just has to ferment longer.
Yeah.
But if you guys are ever interested in a fire cider, I can put my basic recipe. I mean, if you follow me on Instagram, then you've seen my recipe posted many times. In our new website that's going to be coming out, this type of recipe is going to be on it, which is really exciting. So you can go and click on it anytime. You can screenshot it and you'll see, I'll have one that's good and safe for like mothers and breastfeeding and pregnancy, I guess is what I was trying to say, because there are certain herbs that are contraindicated for pregnancy. And again, I always lean on the safer side, but, fire cider has been a staple in our home. And Jeremiah loves, like you mentioned, elderberry syrup.
That makes it taste so much.
He likes mixing it.
You don't like the taste of apple cider vinegar. This is going to be kind of rough, but you add the elderberry syrup. Oh my gosh.
It makes it tolerable. And that's the thing too. We make our elderberry syrup separately.
Yeah.
And then we store it separately just to kind of help with any confusion. I will also put the elderberry recipe that we use, and it's actually from Mountain Rose Herbs. So if you guys know about Mountain Rose Herbs Botanicals, they are a school and also a wildcrafting farm that is located in Oregon. And they have, I only buy my elderberries from there. I swear their dried elderberries are just way better than any other place that I've ever bought them before.
You mean you can't pick elderberries here in Southern California?
No, you can't.
So unfortunate.
But I have known that huckleberries kind of have a similar effect.
Really?
As well. Yeah. Any of those like dark berries, I think elderberry just kind of got more of the hype.
Elder.
Yeah, it's the elder lifted on high. But we also use a local wild honey whenever we make our elderberry syrup as well. So it's not like sugar-based, which a lot of people do. They make it out of cane sugar. I 10 out of 10 do not recommend ever making it out of cane sugar, because the natural carbohydrates that happen in the process of honey is easier for your body to metabolize, and your body doesn't go into an immediate hyper state like it does. I mean, it's still a sweet and a carbohydrate, but it's different than cane sugar. Our body still processes it differently. And I don't care what all of those nutritionists out there say, like a candy bar that has the same amount of sugar intake as grapes is the same. It's not the same. Your body does not process it like the same way. Just because your glucose levels will jump higher doesn't mean that that's always bad for you, unless you obviously have diabetes, like type 2 diabetes. So they are not processed the same way. Also, whenever you like you make your fire cider, please know that when you do make it, it doesn't have to be stored in a cold, dark place. It can be out. It just has to be covered and also be able to burp. So like we have a glass jar with a glass lid, so it can naturally burp on its own. And then when we mix it, that's naturally burping it. It's not that it will build up in pressure, but it can, especially if you use fresh herbs to blend into it, because the herbs are releasing gases.
Yeah.
I just want to say, some people like to add honey to their fire cider. I recommend keeping it separate and then adding in as much honey as you need and dosing it, and also keeping your honey fresh and separate, because you could also get a seasonal honey for that time of year that would affect you better and stronger than putting in a honey that we got from 2 years ago.
Why should you eat with the seasons?
That's like a whole other topic.
I know, but I do. Since you mentioned the honey, I think you should say why you should eat with the seasons.
So the reason why I recommend seasonal honey versus just like getting
any old honey.
Yeah. Is because if you get a honey that was made this month and you have hay fever, or, you know, just really struggle in general with any type of allergies outside of that, if you start eating more seasonally and you're eating also locally, not just seasonally, because you're actually like touching the food that you're growing, you're a part of that microbiome process. The dirt is receiving your sweat. It's reading your DNA the same way that a mother's breast milk will change for a baby and what the baby needs. If you start growing your own food, or you're a fart, if you're a part of the food growing process, the food around you actually can change and implement different taste, and the DNA structure of it can change to match what your DNA is missing. So buying it from a farmer's market necessarily won't do that, but at least you're eating the same, you know, stuff that's in the air, the same stuff that's growing in the ground. It helps support the DNA and the structure that you're putting yourself in a circumstance, right? So if I were living in Egypt and like living there full time, I should be eating locally to Egypt, not buying stuff from California because I miss it. And it wouldn't fit my DNA happenstance, like where I am.
Yeah. Don't get an avocado.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how good they are out there. But what I'm trying to say is like, no, where you are, you should try to eat with your genetic background. It does help. You can find foods that are local. Like if my family for generations ate chicken, my digestive system is probably going to process chicken better.
Yeah.
So putting that into perspective, okay, I'm going to eat chicken, but also should I raise my own chickens? Should I buy locally? Because then those chickens that are eating the same worms are the same worms that are processing the same food. That's right. By, like it's an ecosystem that you're creating, and it helps your gut biome. Now put that into honey, into bees. If you're eating seasonally, like locally, because we already talked about eating locally, eating things that you grow. Now let's put that into a seasonal aspect. If you start eating with the way God created the world, where, hey, only certain vegetables and food grows better at certain times of the year, you are getting the highest amount of vitamins and nutrients from that plant at that time of year. If I were to eat a watermelon right now, yeah, in Southern California, they're not going to be horrible because it's mid-spring, but they really are meant for summertime. That's when they're prime, because they're getting all of the liquid, all of the rainwater from all of spring, and then they come and sprout into summer, right?
Yeah.
That's when they taste the best. That's when they are the best. Eating seasonally makes your food taste better. You get higher amounts of nutrients. And also with the cross pollinators, for which are bees, is a big cross pollinator. Not one of them. I mean, not all of them, but one of them. You are now eating a cross pollination seasonally. So that's why it helps. Like if someone really struggles with a certain season and getting allergies, or their gut biome can't handle going outside at certain times of the day because it's super windy, that will help support your gut and microbiome, but help support your antihistamines as well.
Okay.
That's like that's a long tangent.
Yeah, it's okay. I think it's part of 102. So my second question, or should we jump over to your first question? No.
Yeah.
My second one. The second one I normally get is back pains. Yeah. A lot of guys have back pain struggles and like shoulder struggles. So one of the things I normally recommend is like the valerian and then chamomile.
Why do you recommend those herbs specifically?
I think my body now recognizes valerian. Valerian. I think my body recognizes valerian as something a little bit more numbing for my body. Mm-hmm. And then it also helps me fall asleep. So it helps me get comfortable at night.
Yeah, valerian's known for calming circular thoughts. So it is really good as a overall central nervous system relaxant. Some people think it smells like feet, though.
When I just taste it. I don't smell it.
Can I tell you guys, though? When I heard that, I was like, I don't want to taste this herb. I don't want to taste it. And then I tried it and it never...
Have you tasted feet? Or smelled feet before?
Yeah, everyone knows what a feet smell smells like. But I'm telling you, it doesn't it doesn't smell or taste like that. But you know what I did learn? That if an herb that's supposed to be naturally bitter or supposed to smell like a little stinky smells or tastes good to you, like it's sweet and pleasurable, it's because your body actually needs it.
Oh.
Like it's deficient in it. So your body's craving something that would naturally normally be bitter. And what do I crave all the time?
Bitter.
Bitters, yeah. And I have had digestive problems.
Yeah.
So true. Then you recommend valerian as a central nervous system relaxant and chamomile, which is also chamomile
and skullcap.
All central nervous system relaxants.
Yeah.
Anything, lobelia would be a good one too.
Yeah. That's another one I take. I always forget that one though.
Well, because that's a muscle relaxant, but people, and the reason why I'm glad you don't recommend it all the time, it was used as the original Epicac.
Oh, that's right. They throw up.
Yeah. So if you take too much lobelia and your body's not used to it, it can actually do like a weird throat thing where you're like, I feel kind of sick. And then people vomit. Yeah. I've never had that happen when I've used it, but I feel like you'd have to take a lot. But you guys have to remember that 5 drops equals 1 cup of tea. So if you've never tried it before.
I take a whole eyedropper.
Yeah. Jeremiah takes like 30 drops and he's like solid.
Yeah.
So, but I slowly eased you into that amount.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember. Crazy.
Over the years, you started off with only 5 and then I slowly eased you into that. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're in higher inflammation and higher stress versus lower stress, there's going to be a significant difference. My herbalist teacher, Shayna, she said that one time she had a friend who was in a severe car accident and she had chamomile tincture with her. And normally like a cup of tea, 5 drops, like makes her a little sleepy because she's used to it. She uses that herb all the time. Her body is familiar with it. After the car accident, she could like drink half the bottle and it barely neutralized her, like brought her to normal. And that's how much stress her body was in, right?
I believe it.
So it's good to understand too that in every moment and every day, what you'll need in your dosage will always change.
Yeah.
But when it comes to back pain, a lot of it isn't just like a nerve flare up. And those tend, what you mentioned herb-wise, tends to be more of a Band-Aid. Do you recommend anything else for people physically?
Come see Savannah.
Okay. Well, little asked. Plug. Is that really, that's all you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think I have 4 elderly people that have a lot of scar tissue in their back and then their hips and their knees. And I'm like, you can take all this stuff, but you should really go see my wife. Like, you need to break up the scar tissue to even begin your process of healing.
Yeah. What do they say to that normally?
One of them's like, oh, yeah, give me her business card and I'll look into it. And I'm like, or just go do it. And then I have another gentleman that's interested, but he's kind of like worried about his back because he, I think he said he has over 75 pins in his back.
Okay.
And he's just scared to like get it touched.
Yeah. People get nervous when their back's been worked on, their spine. I specialize in that though.
I know.
So here's the thing. When you have back pain, it varies for many different reasons. I would say for the average person, a lot of it is because they have an anterior tilt in their hips.
What does that mean?
Their hips are falling forward. So if you touch the bony part of your hips, which is like, you know, below your belly button out off to the side, they're the bony landmarks that mark the top of your ilium. Sometimes when you lay down, they'll stick out significantly.
So your pelvic bone?
Yes, you can call it that.
All right.
But specifically, when you lay down on your back and then you touch your sides, and then it should be like more in the front towards your belly button. Do you feel that?
I mean, as I get like it's more to my right.
Yeah. So that's why I said
my obliques.
Yeah. That's why. So you go start from your belly button. Okay. And then go out to the side and then drop down. All right. Bony landmark.
Bony landmark.
There you go. So on both sides, sometimes people can feel one's higher than the other. Jeremiah's doing it. I doubt yours are. You're married to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Solid.
A lot of times people's psoas, their psoas major and or minor, is out of alignment as well, which is can hike up their hip improperly. Or their legs can also be like literally suction cupped into their hips and creating a incorrect posture and alignment for their pubic bone. So when their pelvic floor, pubic bone, abdominal, and lower abdominals are all out of whack and they're pulling their hips out of alignment, it puts extra pressure on the lower part of your back. So think of like L5, basically like L5 to L1, all of the lumbar, right? When that starts pinching and falling forward, I want you guys to think about, like, even if you're listening to this, if you can stand up, I want you to think about thrusting your hips forward and then pulling your spine back. You'll feel like you're going to fall forward, right? But that's what's happening to you internally. Your hips are thrusting forward and then your spine is left here. And then you'll feel that tension in your lower back. And that's what happens. Imagine that over time with bending over, lifting weights, picking up kids, picking up groceries, doing anything, it adds more pressure into your lower back. There's also the opposite, which is called like the shaggy sway, or no, the sway back, but.
Sounds like a dance move.
The shaggy sway. Your hips can also have a posterior tilt where like you kind of flare, or I'm sorry, you have like a weird scoop in your core. So it's like you're scooping.
I've seen that in some women and men.
Yeah, where they tend to have like a hunchback almost because of it. Their body becomes in a C shape. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, that tends to put more pressure, not so much on the lower back, but in the neck, head, neck, and shoulders, because all that pressure is being rounded out into the head, neck, and shoulders. And those people tend to normally get really bad ankle and knee pain as well, because all of the pressure is being pushed down through the ankles and knees. And it's always like the outer. They feel it in their lateral, their rectus femoris, which is like they touch the outside of your quad.
Yeah, like I remember when we first started dating and you started like kind of helping me with my back pain. Mm-hmm. You kept on going to my psoas and I'm like, it's my back that hurts. Why are you going into my stomach? It's my back.
Because your psoas was pulling your back out of alignment.
I remember you did that for like almost 2 years.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Sometimes, I mean, Jeremiah had 30 years at that point of training his body a certain way. Yeah. And then we had to untrain it. And it can sometimes take months. It can take years. Ugh, sorry.
You touched it.
I touched the mic again. Yeah. Did that happen in the whole holistic episode last time? No. Or was that the get to know me one?
I don't know.
That was awful. Ugh. Anyway, if you guys weren't with us then, I have like, I'd hate touching foam.
I purposely got the foamiest mics for Savannah. Jeez. I'm kidding. These are the only ones they sell.
But anywho, that's why I would recommend seeing someone like me. Yes. Going to a Rolfer or someone who specializes in alignment, some chiropractors are amazing. I actually just, a client today, told me about these amazing dentists that he was working with who wanted him to see someone like me because they understood that his jaw tension and jaw pain was coming from his chest, head, neck, and shoulders. And I was like, give me their cards. I want to recommend people to you. That's amazing. Like, and I also go internal in people's mouth, and that's what I worked on him today. But Yeah, that was probably, those are the big ones. Taking central nervous system relaxants, muscle relaxants, and then alignment work. So Jeremiah, when you think of yoga, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
A yogi.
What's that to you?
A yogi is typically a man who has mastered a certain position in a religion that is
Hindu. Yeah.
And that's the only position they practice.
So you actually know what a yogi is then?
Yeah. Because I did research about yogis a long time ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I was just interested in different occults and stuff like that. And yogi was one of the ones I was like really interested in, because in the news, there's been a lot of yogis that have come out and they're like, I haven't eaten in like 17 years. And I'm like, what's a yogi? And then there's yogis that are like, I'm not invulnerable. What is it? Impenetrable by venomous snakes. The guy literally shot himself up with venom for like 17, 20 years and then went on the stage and is like, see, cobra bit him, nothing.
But yeah, because he slowly...
Yeah, he introduced it to his body. He didn't actually inherit a gift from the gods or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They're crooks.
Not all of them.
I mean, it's a crook. If you're saying that you inherited a gift,
I'm just saying, yes, that person.
Yeah.
But we can't sit here and say on our podcast of viewers that every single yogi is a crook.
Okay.
Correct?
But a cultist.
Yes, we do here on Casting Seeds do believe that if anyone does not believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and that he is the Son of God, who is equal parts man and God, whole, as your Savior, died for your sins and rose again, if you do not believe that, then you are
practicing an occult.
Yeah, you are a cultist. Even atheism, the lack of a religion, is still worshiping yourself, which is a cult. So fast forwarding after that, when most people think of yoga, I think they just think of working out.
Yeah, that's not my first impression on it. But like as I grew and found out
that it was
like
know that
other workouts, I was like, yoga? Hot yoga? I was like, what is hot yoga?
Yeah. And a lot of people, I mean, real yoga, a lot of it is like the Kundalini spirit and stuff, inviting a literal spirit into your practice. And here's the thing. I do understand why a lot of Christians are anti-yoga. Because every position is worshiping a type of Hindu god. And that's why master yogis will take that one position and master it for life. They'll master it. They do it all day in and day out. And that's the one position that they do. They don't do anything else. And I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that I know all the history in yoga and how it became into what it is today. But I will say, focusing on the retrospect of like, I love Pilates. I think that it's a wonderful strengthening and lengthening exercise. And I recommend it all the time at my practice. Pilates, is it an extension of yoga? Yes and no. It took certain core strengthening exercises and turned it into more of a cardio base for one type. And then there's also classical Pilates, which is what I prefer, which is activating certain muscles in a position way that you don't normally activate them and strengthening your core and balance while also lengthening and teaching them how to activate and deactivate the same way that should be done through proper weight training. But a lot of people don't do weight training properly, where they are slowly activating their muscles and truly like going through each movement.
Isolation training.
Yeah, thank you. But you can do it cardio-based as well, but you can only get to that point after you've truly mastered the correct movement and weight. So with that being said, when you think about it in a workout aspect, I cannot say personally that I know many yoga classes that aren't a little, to be nice, woohooey. I don't remember the last time I went to a yoga class. I haven't gone... Maybe the last time I went, I was like in junior high, not even high school. Not that I had convictions in high school about it. I just don't. It just was an issue. The same way that when I had to take Tai Chi.
Get it right.
I do like Tai Chi and Chai Tea.
Not at the same time, though. But you get hot quick.
Tai Chi in school, in order to pass our first class, we had to take a Tai Chi class.
Sounds like a cult.
They also asked us to bring in the Kundalini spirit.
What?
Yeah. And I asked, I was like, can I not? Can I use the Holy Spirit? If this is now going to become weirdly a spiritual thing, can I bring in the Holy Spirit? At first, one of my teachers was like kind of offended and annoyed. And then I was like, you can't force me to do something like bring in a spiritual practice, especially when I'm a Christian. And they were like, no, yeah, that's true. And then they were like, totally fine. I think they realized in that moment they're being a little hypocritical, and then they were chill. So then I did that. I was like, I don't know what this is. I did it. And sometimes my hands, like I could feel like my hands would get warmer, but is it a workout? Is it something spiritual happening?
I don't think so. I think you need to really focus on a specific body part and increase the blood flow to that specific spot.
Exactly. Yeah. But was it cool to do? It was kind of nice. And it taught proper mechanics and movement for massage, because you shouldn't be like straight armed or like, it's about teaching mechanics and how your body should move. That's all what Tai Chi is about. It's body mechanics.
Yeah.
So when I just took it in the practical aspect, I knew my heart posture. I wasn't like, I didn't feel like I was sinning. I didn't like, by participating, I wasn't, everyone in the class knew. I made it very clear. When we're doing this, I'm doing this for the Holy Spirit. No other, no one else. Everything that I do is always for God. And if they would say something or like a chant or whatever, I would literally rebuke it in Jesus's name.
A mantra.
Yeah. Sometimes a chant, but whatever. I just was like, everyone knew that I was anti. I felt safe. I didn't feel like I was sinning or stumbling. And I just did the body mechanics, and no part of the body mechanic was bringing in a spirit in any way. It was just doing the movements. It wasn't about like the spirit is now coming in you when you do the waterfall and Warrior One. That's not what it was about at all. So with fast forwarding now to yoga, the question I get consistently is, Savannah, is yoga okay for a Christian to do? And you know what? At the end of the day, people are going to agree or disagree with me right now. The number one thing that I say that my stance is does it cause you to sin? When you're doing yoga, are you sitting there thinking, oh man, I really feel like when I'm in corpse pose right now, I'm worshiping the corpse god, Hindu god. Do you think that when you're in Warrior One, Warrior Two, are you worshiping those gods?
Yeah, who are you doing it for? Is what Savannah's getting
back to square one, episode one of Casting Seeds. Who are you doing it for? Because guess what, you guys, when I've trained myself to sleep on my back. Sleeping on my back is technically corpse pose. When I sleep every night, yeah, am I doing corpse pose? No, no. And that's the other thing. If we're going to take it that far, let's talk about the Kama Sutra. The Kama Sutra is an Indian sexual book that shows you multiple positions, and they are God positions in their, and like when I make love to my husband, I don't think, no, right now I'm in a position that's worshiping a Hindu god. Never. I am focused wholeheartedly on my husband and sometimes on the Lord too. I'll pray.
So I think a good example of this is like you have that whole belief system built around the zodiac and the stars and stuff. It's God's creation. They repurposed it. They called it something else and they put their own gods behind it. God's creation is God's creation. As long as you're doing it for the Lord and you're doing everything natural for the Lord, it is not going
to
be a sin.
Are you saying that it's okay to do the zodiac then?
I'm saying it's okay to look up at the stars and call it what it is. You know, the Greeks have labeled each individual solar system and that's just the way it is right now. But I'm not saying like, oh, that's Pegasus. I'm going to worship a god because I said the word Pegasus.
Okay. You worried me for a second there.
Well, no, I'm just saying they repurposed something that was already created.
Yeah.
Our body functions.
They gave a name to it and they decided to worship it.
Yeah. Our body functions and the way it's designed and our flexibility and everything was already created. It is not for them to claim, but they're claiming it and giving it something else.
Yes.
So,
which is what a cult is.
Yeah.
Anything that worships anything outside of Christ, whether it's the stars, body positions, which is wild.
Yeah.
When I think about it. They're plants. Worshiping. Yeah. Plants.
Yep.
And that's because, and I do feel like this is kind of, it gets into the more, I wanted to mention this one first before we went into essential oils though, because.
Essential oils.
Yeah. I don't think it's the same as just a heart issue with yoga. There's some things I need to go over, but yeah. when it comes, like same with drinking alcohol, if you're not a leader, I don't think an elder or a leader in the church should drink alcohol personally. Those are my convictions. And I think Jeremiah's, when we've read the Bible, I don't think that they should drink because they need to be sober minded and prepared at all times to be able to take care of their flock. Jeremiah and I don't really drink ever. No. And that's just, it's for healthcare reasons, but also we serve and pour into people.
Never know when you'll get that call to action.
Yeah. And also we just don't really care. Like one time we decided to make midnight margaritas, the two of us.
Oh, that was fun though.
It was cute. Yeah.
It was cute. Yeah.
We like had fun in the kitchen and it was a great time.
But we didn't get shwasted or anything.
No, we both had a margarita each and we were blending it. We were like, is this loud for the neighbors? And like freaking out. And then they didn't even taste good. But it was fun. It was like a cute thing to do by ourselves, you know, and like we would have, if a friend was staying over, I would have offered. It's not a big deal. But Jeremiah and I only did that because we had no responsibility or anyone to take care of.
I have responsibility.
Oh, that's
true. Her name's Savannah.
Then it looks like you can never drink ever again because I'm a handful.
That's true.
But when it comes to it, you guys, whether it's, you know, if alcohol makes you stumble or a friend, right? If you are causing a friend to stumble, then you shouldn't do it. I'm going to put the same thing then for yoga. If you had a friend come from New Ageism and they really struggled with that kind of stuff, don't think, you know what might be fun? Let's like do yoga together. Maybe not.
So how would you feel about going to a yoga class? You're doing it, you know, your way biblically, mm-hmm. and you're doing it for the Lord. But then you have the person leading it calling upon a spirit.
No, yeah, I would leave.
You'd leave.
I don't even go to yoga classes because of that. I wouldn't even put myself in that situation.
Yeah.
Ever. Because I don't want to be like that Christian that causes an uproar. Like, oh, you called upon the Kundalini spirit. You called upon these things. Yeah, you put yourself in that situation because you went to that class. That's like going to a bar and getting mad that everyone's drunk.
Yeah.
That's silly.
Would you do the same thing if you walked into a Christian church and you heard something unbiblical?
I feel like that's a different. It's my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're called to hold people accountable in the correct, obviously, like the correct perspectives.
Yeah, so, but I mean, it's not a church you go to. You're just visiting.
Well, you and I went to a church, mm-hmm. and when we went there, we specifically asked the people at the front, are there any women pastors here?
Yeah.
And they said, no. And we said, perfect. Great. We can't wait to go in. Immediately before the message even started, they called up Pastor Katie.
Yeah.
And she prayed over the congregation and a family. And I immediately grabbed you and I was like, we need a skedoodle.
Yeah.
And you went, no.
Yeah.
And did you not regret leaving?
Oh, no. I completely regretted it. But
because we didn't leave.
We didn't
sat
leave,
there
yeah.
and then we listened to an entirely heretical message as well. On top of it,
yep.
The pastor, the male pastor who came out and spoke on top of that was so unsolved. And then Jeremiah and I were just cringing the entire time. So I do think when you get conviction of the Holy Spirit, God tells you when you need to flip over tables in the tabernacle. Yeah. He also tells you when it's time to withdraw and like flee like Joseph. I knew we needed to flee. And Jeremiah said, no, let's stay. And the longer we stayed, the more we both wanted to flip a table.
Yeah.
And we weren't called to do so. I did write them a message on Instagram and I said, hey, like you guys don't say on your website you have women pastors. We actually asked people at the front if you had any because we're not comfortable with it. And we were outright lied to. And that made us very uncomfortable because we felt like we had to sit through a message and like listen to heresy and we weren't okay with it. And then they came back with like a million and one excuses. And instead of just saying, you know what, we're sorry. Yeah, we should put that on our website. Yeah. So I do think it's a completely different circumstance. My real thing is, what is your heart posture? Who are you doing it for? Yeah. If it's for Christ, if you're doing just stretches, it's not a big deal. I'm not going to sit there and be like, warrior one, warrior two. Like, you can see the stretches, the poses, and you can try to do them for stabilization techniques. But I prefer, personally, as a Christian, I prefer Pilates over yoga, because it's not about the poses or saying what they are. It's about holding your structure.
Yeah, I agree. And it's required. You need to do, I'm going to say the word yoga, because your body requires it. You need full functionality of your body. And if you don't do it, you're going to have arthritis. You're going to have all these problems.
But that's the thing. You can just replace the word yoga with mobility stretches.
Exercise.
Yeah. Workouts. Working out. It doesn't have to be yoga. So if someone ever comes to me and says, like, well, I don't like to work out because I don't like stretching, because stretching is yoga, I know that they're making excuses to not do any type of mobility work.
So I understand yoga, but tell me, what is your gear to grind with these oils?
Essential oils.
Yeah, those oils.
We
don't have any, do we?
Yeah, we use essential oils.
Oh, we use it in candles, huh?
Candles.
When we make our candles,
we use it for what it's used for not humidifiers, for diffusers.
Yeah.
We use it when we make our own lotions and shampoos and conditioners and soaps.
That's right. We use that.
We
do.
We use it all the time. Use it also when we make our own antibacterial sprays, chemical sprays.
So you're not against this.
Washers. No, I'm not against essential oils as a whole.
Okay.
I'm against how many people are sold to use them. And I'm against the cult-like atmospheres that companies like Young Living and doTERRA.
Okay, tell me about that part, the company thing.
So I'm in it. Young Living and doTERRA are terrible.
Why?
One, because they lure in mostly many Christian women.
Why do you bring up Christian women?
I don't know why it became like a subculture for a long time. For like the past 20 years, especially, I feel like there's a huge subculture of Christianity that was like, yeah, we're going to get into more holistic health. And then these MLM companies discovered that and were like, well, guess what? You can get into it and also make a bunch of money. But on top of that, these are super healthy for you. And it's not that the fact that these can't be healthy. I feel like when you do the research on those companies, they are better sourced, and it's because they make so much money that they're able to do that. But one, many of these companies, they advertise how they give back to the communities that take from them. When you harvest an entire field of lavender, when I see a field of lavender as an herbalist, I'm like, I can use the root, the stem of that plant, and the flowers for all different things. And it makes the medicine that much stronger because I'm using the whole thing. They don't use the entire plant when they're using essential oils. And I don't care what it's for. Lemon, lavender. I couldn't think of another L1. But what I'm trying to say is, when they're using a part of a plant and then condensing it, every plant is different, but they have to use hundreds of pounds of that plant to make it that intense of a smell.
So they're wasteful.
They're very wasteful. And on top of that, they're normally doing these in they're all done in third world countries. So they're getting paid pennies off the dollar for using these farmers. A lot of them use children, slaves for farmers. And they'll be like, yeah, we give a bunch of money back to the community. Yeah, I'm sure they do in certain ways. But here's the thing. If they are using GMO seeds from Monsanto and other things like that, they're actually giving a lot of money back to the big companies that are actually making us sick to begin with. So they're a part of like the huge subculture that's just under big pharma. And on top of that, when you start getting like their letters and mails, whether it's from doTERRA or Young Living, they tell you to say these weird mantras and chants where they're like, tell yourself that you are healthy and you are beautiful, which is also a weird part of Christianity. That's coming into the, basically, like, they're trying to claim that we can command things in the spirit of God. I command in the spirit of God that your digestion will get better, especially with this peppermint essential oil. And they'll literally write like caveats at the bottom for their Christian followers and be like, if you're a Christian, just command it in the Holy Spirit. They're both incorrect. Whether you're commanding it, just the fact that you're commanding it at all. That's not being submissive to God's will and what he wants for you and your body in the season of life right now. I'm not saying that you can't get better, but what I am saying is that most of them are cults. And then on top of that, I feel like many essential oils are very wasteful. And then to boot, they're overpriced. And I'm just sick and tired of Christians trying to then fake come up to me. And whether it's doTERRA, even if it's not an essential oil, people who are in MLM companies, when they come up and they're fake nice and they're the opposite of being godly because they're doing something for their own benefit and gain. Yeah. To make a financial living, which has happened to you and I.
Yep.
Which we don't have to go into. We almost fell for it and then we backed out. But what I'm trying to say is when it comes to essential oils are technically a stimulant. I loathe when people tell me that they put essential oils on their babies or they use essential oils all the time in a baby's room, even in the air, not directly on a baby's skin.
Yeah, babies and pets.
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm not saying that you can't do these things in the future. What I am saying is if they are a stimulant, they are super aggressive, especially for dogs and their noses.
Mm-hmm.
Babies are super sensitive and their organs are tiny. They cannot process that much. And when I say 5 drops of a tincture is an entire plant and it equates to 1 cup of tea, 1 drop of an essential oil doesn't equate to a cup of tea. 1 drop, my friend put a drop of peppermint oil in her, her tooth, like the water pick thing.
Oh yeah.
And that 1 drop ate through the plastic enamel because it doesn't, it's an oil. It doesn't blend with the water.
Yeah.
So by the time she was like, well, it doesn't taste like anything. I'm like, yeah, because you need fat solubles for it. That's why it's better in soaps and butters. And so these types of things are very frustrating for me. If you're going to ingest an essential oil, you have to first make it mix with a fat soluble. You have to have a butter with it. So when it comes to get, or like an oil, like olive oil.
Yeah.
If you want to brush your teeth with essential oil, great. Make sure you're doing it with coconut oil so that it doesn't literally corrode your enamel and your intestines. Yeah. But here's the thing, babies can't do that, right? So then people put it on their feet and their hands and their kids. And it is so overly stimulating that a lot of those kids and animals that they do it to actually end up creating, they get allergies because their body sees it as an overstimulant and then they get sick. And then now people are coming out with tons of lavender allergies and peppermint allergies because they were overstimulated with it as children. Yes.
Wow.
So, and lemon, actually.
Lemongrass.
Lemongrass allergies, all that stuff. It's a
really popular one in those baby ones.
I'll sometimes put lemongrass essential oil on my hands when I massage people, and sometimes I'll forget to use oil, like massage oil first. Not only will it stain my hands slightly yellow, but I actually feel nauseous after doing it with too many clients because my body has been overstimulated, not from the smell, but from too much lemongrass going into my system.
Why are you messing up?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. If I can mess up because I don't think about it, I'm doing something quickly.
Yeah.
Imagine then somebody who's then being sold, which by the way, doTERRA and Young Living, both legally are not FDA approved and they're not allowed to tell people that they can't ingest their essential oils legally. Do they do it all the time? Yeah. Every single listener knows. Yes, they do. They promote it. They tell you different ways to ingest, different ways to put it on their babies, different ways to put it on their husbands, their dogs, their cats, their birds. Everything.
Her birds.
Well, I'm not joking. And then
the frogs.
I've actually heard people at conferences who will go to these conferences and they will say things like, oh yeah, well, you don't want to take a tincture. Tinctures are too, like, they're not strong enough. Are you joking? Tinctures are the entire plant. They're actually stronger. They're not taking just one little aspect of the plant. They actually are giving you full blown medicine. And I'm not, again, if someone has a severe stomach ache, some peppermint essential oil on their tummies, great. But make sure you're mixing it with an oil or with a lotion. Otherwise, it can burn people's skin. People have gotten blisters from, from cinnamon and cayenne and peppermint essential oil. No flippin' duh. All of those are heating. One of them also
we do the emulsive, right? Where you chew it and then you spit it out and then emulsions. You put it on your emulsions.
Yeah.
We do that.
Yeah. Well, we don't chew it and spit it, but we'll blend it with
water. Chew it and spit it.
So, and what Jeremiah is saying, it like I did an emulsion of cayenne pepper on my thyroid to help bring blood flow to my thyroid for about 2 months. And it actually did help a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It helped my thyroid immensely. And I felt like I didn't need to take any type of thyroid herbs to do it. I just did it for a couple hours. My neck would get really hot. And this is putting direct, like mushed cayenne pepper with water on my neck for hours. And if I were going to do an essential oil, the essential oil would, one drop would burn 1,000 times more than the actual pepper just going on my neck with a, you know, I would do that and then we'd wrap it in like a gauze and we'd tape it to my neck every night.
And it's way cheaper too.
It's way cheaper. It's much more ethical, environmental. It just, it's the way God created it. I'm not saying that we can't use essential oils, you guys. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying use it for its purpose. It's meant to be put up in the air. Also be aware and safe for certain types of stimulants around babies and animals, cats and dogs, birds. I don't know. I don't know what you have. Worms.
Those poor worms.
Yeah, I feel bad. But just be aware. And understand that they're meant for either being put in the air or fat-soluble substances when it comes to internal. Am I ever going to suggest, I don't want anyone to sit there and be like, I listened to Casting Seeds and they suggested for me to take internal, to take essential oils internally. No. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not ever suggest for anyone to take essential oils internally. I am against it. But if you do, please use fat-soluble substances. And that's the end of my rant. I would rather you guys not overstimulate your body and get your body used to taking a whole plant and letting your body have the whole benefits of it. It's like when people drink like 5 carrot juices in a day instead of just eating carrots.
I would never. I don't want to turn orange.
I'm just telling you, you're losing all of the fiber. You're losing like half of the vitamins and nutrients.
Your body
you just
can't
juice
use
it.
That much.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, your body just flushes most of it out. And that's what I'm trying to explain when it comes to essential oils. Your liver can literally not process it the same way, and it won't process it the same way.
So when you smell something and it goes through that membrane, does it process through your liver?
Yeah. Anything that you smell, touch, yeah. Put in your hair, your hands.
That's scary.
Yeah, your liver has to work really hard. Your kidneys, your gallbladder. It's your filtration system and it goes through your blood. So if it does not filter properly, guess what goes into your blood?
All the metals falling from the sky.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Your blood's then going to see, let's say it's lemon essential oil. It's going to filter into your blood improperly. And then what is your red blood cells going to go and say? Oh, we need some white blood cells. We got to attack this. And then you're going to go and eat a lemon a week later and it's going to say, oop. We couldn't process this properly. Time to attack this in your digestive tract. Do you see how you can train it improperly?
Yeah. So
that's why I'm trying to say, you guys, when it comes to herbal medicine, maybe don't just listen to the big companies that you're working with. Always get a third party decision when it comes to certain aspects of herbal medicine. I'm not going to say that for allopathic medicine. Of course, I always recommend in any type of medicine that you're going to receive, whether it's going on the pill, getting a jabby jab, getting any type of medication, even if it's a tincture or an essential oil, whatever it is, I don't care. Please always get a third party perspective. You can always message me on Instagram or send me.
Quick question. What's your take on incense then?
It depends on how they were harvested, what chemicals they were used, and if they're actually all natural products in there.
Okay.
Most incense are not all natural. And I don't trust a lot of the ones that come from Asia, and most of them are from Asia because they don't have the same regulations. Like if you thought the FDA was bad, like not very well regulated, Asia's a lot worse.
Got it.
A lot of them made with harsh chemicals. Petroleum jellies, things
butane
that
and
like
stuff.
It's almost like worse than a candle, and a lot of candles are awful too. So if you guys are looking for essential oil companies that you would like to support, I can do some research It won't necessarily be on this podcast episode, but again, follow me, holistic_wife, on Instagram, and I can come out, or maybe in like a week or so, I'll have some companies that I like that I can have posted. They just won't be ready by the time the show, this episode is aired. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. You can tell I get really heated about essential oils. Yeah,
Savannah's over here ready to throw blows with oil.
I literally, like, my hands, I'm like a spicy Italian woman talking. I'm like, bah, 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 bah. My hands, my dogs are like avoiding my hands. But anyway, I hope you guys know there's also no judgment if you've been kind of whipped up in any of those companies. But I hope that you can look back and be like, actually, yeah. I do remember a lot of those things.
Yeah, we're not trying to shame you or anything like that.
Yeah. I know that many people don't even get that deep into it, but the ones who do are the ones who come out and they're like, oh, I was like in a subcult and I was claiming Christ. So just know, you guys, when it comes to all those things, I actually have some Bible verses here.
I don't know why she whispered.
So I want to just mention 1 Peter 5:8. I want you guys to be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. If you guys are not prayerful the day, like in the morning, if you're not in the Word, and you're not truly asking God to lead you by the Holy Spirit, it's going to be very difficult to be led and have discernment on these things, and to also have the humility to take a step back when you are clearly doing something that is not biblical. Yeah.
Before you make a choice to do something like that, you know, get into prayer.
Yeah.
I agree.
And that's why I also bring up 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you're doing. I don't care if you're stretching. If then you do a pose and it makes you think that you're worshiping a Hindu god in any way, shape, or form, stop. Yeah, stop what you're doing. Repent, go to a friend, ask for accountability. Or if you start using essential oils and you like doing a mantra with it, you need to get rid of those essential oils right now. Yeah. Send them to me.
Start reading a Bible verse while you do it instead.
Yeah, exactly. There's also Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. The only things that are excellent and worthy of praise have to do with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why I really want you to please focus on those three verses. Again, it's 1 Peter 5:8, 1 Corinthians 10:31, and Philippians 4:8. But I want you guys to know, again, we say in every episode, we are always praying for you. We're praying that this is a healthy and joyful discernment. And if you guys disagree with anything that we've said, reach out to us. Let us know. I also would ask you to please leave a review and to like and share any episodes. It looks like Jeremiah wants to share something though really fast.
Yeah, I got a Bible verse I wanted to share. Okay. Something that really made me think about how I prayed. And I didn't mean to pull up King James Version. I was looking for New King James, but
it's fine.
Matthew 6:7-8, and this is King James Version. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before he ask him. So I think it's talking about mantras, and yeah, it's saying that speaking these mantras repetitively does nothing.
Yeah.
So
they're not genuine. They're not conversations genuine. With
it's
God.
Not for the Lord, and it's 100% for self and self benefit.
Yeah. And they can become demonic when the mantras are worshiped. So please
be careful.
Yeah. Please just have discernment and don't be afraid to ask questions, especially us. That's why we have this podcast, literally, is to go over these types of questions. And we can go more in depth in these things if you'd like to have whole episodes in this and like really do like deep dives into certain companies and things like that. Or, you know, like yoga's practices and things. But ultimately, we want you guys to know that we will have herbs set up in the links in our description to herbs and supplements that we support. I know some people asked if you guys could buy things from us directly. We're just not really capable for that yet in like mass quantities. And if we're going to open up a store, we'd like to be prepared for bigger quantities.
If you're local to us, we can provide some fire cider and stuff like that of our own batches.
Because it's made for us. So we're giving up a part of ours. But that we want to encourage you guys to do your own research and to create your own herbal medicine and to not be afraid to have fun and try things with your family and just enjoy God's creation, because he made all these things, including our bodies, beautifully and for our benefit, to be able to glorify him. It's for our benefit, but ultimately in sacrifice for him.
For his glory.
His glory always. So we love you guys. We're praying always. And don't forget to keep casting seeds. We hope you enjoyed learning how to cultivate God's creation from a biblical perspective. Holistic health is to prioritize whole person wellness through Christ. Like and comment on what topics we're casting seeds or casting pearls.
If you found this information provided useful, subscribe to our podcast for future updates, leave a review to help us improve, and share this episode. We would like to remind you before we leave that perfect health cannot be attained in this world.
Only spiritual salvation through sanctification and repentance to God and turning away from sin will give you a perfect body in the kingdom come. Nourish yourself in the word, in prayer, and in biblical fellowship daily.
Thank you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our listeners for making this podcast possible.
Always praying.
Keep casting seeds.